So yes, I'm coming to the wrong side of the auditorium. I admit it and I repent now. Last week was a really good example of why when we are doing a series of sermons and we're depending on multiple people to deliver those sermons, that it's really good for those who are speaking to share their ideas. Because as I was doing the live stream last week and sitting back there and Jeff was giving his lesson, I went, but that, okay, yeah, because last week Jeff talked about discipleship, and today I'm talking about evangelism. They work hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. In mind, you can do evangelism without discipleship. You can do that. Not a good idea, but you can do it. But discipleship doesn't happen if there's not evangelism, either working alongside of it or coming before it. So, discipleship is taking that person who has responded, who is engaged, and teaching them more deeply about Christ. Evangelism is getting him to that point. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We need, and when I say we, I am including myself in this, we need to be intentionally, actively, and passionately evangelizing in our daily lives. Intentionally, actively, and passionately. What's it mean to intentionally do something? You do it on purpose, with a conscious intent. Actively, in a way that involves deliberate and vigorous engagement or effort. Passionately, in a way that is driven by intense feeling or strong conviction, with enthusiasm and eagerness, wholeheartedly. Dictionary.com is doing real good, real good. Evangelizing. Okay, Dictionary.com. Yeah, evangelizing, we can get evangelize, but not actively. So, definition for evangelize: to preach the gospel to convert to Christianity. Or as a verb without an object, to preach the gospel, to act as an evangelist. Okay, not bad. What's that look like, though? Well, that looks like Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. This whole psalm is the story that we're learning about in our Bible class right now. Joseph being sold into slavery, coming out as a nation. The promised land being given to the nation of Israel. And they knew this, backwards and forwards. They lived it intentionally, actively, and passionately as they took over the promised land and as they lived their lives. And that kingdom was strong as long as they were proclaiming it, as long as they were living it actively, intentionally, and passionately in their lives. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4 again, it says, in that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Again, this one's talking about Jesus. In that day refers back to Isaiah 11, which is all about the coming Messiah, all about what Jesus is going to face. So the Israelites understood what it was to evangelize, to hold God out there in front of people and fearlessly say, "This is my God. You need to know about him." To do that, to evangelize, we have to do those three things. We have to actively do it. This world needs Jesus. Believe it or not, they expect his followers to tell them about him. We're going to watch a short video. That's about 5 minutes long. And it's from Penn Jillette. Anybody, show of hands, anybody know just hearing that name, who that is? Penn and Teller? Oh, okay. So Penn Jillette is the Penn in Penn and Teller. And he is probably one of the best known. I mean, he's a very eloquently spoken man. He's one of the best known atheists that's out there as far as speaking his mind and sharing things. But this is what he had to say.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand, because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. But he said nice stuff. And then he said, "I brought this for you." And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, "I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing." And then he said, "I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy." And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, but that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. But this guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
Very clearly, he is still an atheist, but that seed's planted because somebody actively went and talked to him. I don't think I can preach a much better sermon about why it's important for us to set aside our worries about what people are going to think about us, how we're going to be responded to, than what he just said. So actively evangelizing. In a 2016 study, Lifeway Research found that people were more willing to share their political views, 59% at that point in time. I think it's way higher than that now. Than their spiritual views, 41%. 2019, another study shows that more than 55% of Protestant churchgoers say they haven't shared their faith with anyone in the past 6 months. Think about that for a second. Think about your own life. Getting this lesson ready, I had to think about my life. Without active evangelism, the church is lost and it is purposeless. We can do whatever we want here. We can have mug and muffin. We can have the senior banquet. We can do everything in this building. But until we walk out those doors and drive out onto those streets and start going into the grocery stores, into the malls, to our neighbors' houses, and actively telling them about the Christ that they need to know, it's good for us. But are we proclaiming God the way that he wanted the Israelites to proclaim him, or the way that he wants us to proclaim him? Allison's gonna get mad at me, maybe. I don't know. Multiple years ago, I discovered that the Walmart in South Milwaukee has bananas. Yeah, it's up to, I was going to include that. At this point in time, it was like 18 cents a pound for bananas. No other Walmart, I mean, I go to different Walmarts with people, helping them shop, doing stuff. No other Walmart had bananas for this price. I was excited. But Allison was so excited that she would stop people when we were out shopping, and she would say, "Did you know?" And then she had this realization. What if I was as excited about telling somebody about Jesus as I have been about 18 cents a pound bananas? or 25 at this point in time. What are you excited about? Are you excited about seeing Jordan Love this afternoon, seeing how he does? Are you excited about seeing some of the new players on the Kansas City defense and seeing how they do? Thank you, Abby. If you're excited about that, get excited about God too. Actively share that. Intentionally. We're surrounded by people that are hurting. We're surrounded by people that need to know who God is. They've got questions. They're looking for something to fill an empty spot. And they grab onto all kinds of stuff to do that. They're everywhere that we go. Every place that we are, there are people that need to know Christ. So how do we intentionally interact with them? Well, it doesn't start when we walk into the store. It doesn't start when we go over to visit with our neighbor and just sit down. If we're not praying about it beforehand, if we're not asking God to show us the people that he wants us to influence, if we're not consistent in doing that, it's not going to happen. That's the intentional part. Pray about it. Before we moved up here, I used to work with kids that were in trouble and their families. I taught them, parents, how to budget, how to cook meals, how to discipline their kids. My kids probably won't believe that. And we would role play. I'd role play with kids. I can't say that to my parents. They're never going to listen to me. Okay, well, let's go ahead and let's work through that. Let's figure that out. Role play with yourself. You've got somebody you want to talk to, somebody that you want to share the gospel with, somebody that you want to introduce to Christ. Go through it in your head. And then all those really bad outcomes, all the times that you just stumble over everything and can't get out what you want to say, and they just kind of slam the door on you, throw those out. It's what you do when you look at reviews online for a restaurant or someplace to stay, isn't it? You take the worst reviews and the best reviews and you look at what's in the middle. Do the same thing as you role play that in your head. Get ready. You don't know what God's going to put in your mouth. You don't know what they need to hear. Have a normal conversation. Talk about the Packers. If you're not,
and be sane.
And be sane, yes. If you're not into sports, and you know that somebody that you want to talk with is, look at the box scores some. That's where they break the game down and give you the numbers about it. Know some of what's going on so that you have something in common. Find other commonalities with them, and then just talk. And then as you're talking, slowly turn that conversation. Jeff's good at this. But he's good at it because he's practiced. He's good at it because he's prayed about it. He's good at it because it's what he is intending to do. If you have that conversation and you hear something, ask that person. You're already praying, right? Ask that person if you can include that in your prayer life. Ask if you can include that hole in their life, that pain, in your prayers. Look, that door's opened up. You got a chance. Keep going back to that. Keep caring. Keep praying for that person. Keep talking to that person. Keep working with that person. That's how you do it intentionally. And without an intentional evangelism, without an evangelism that is planned and prepared, we're not going to be ready when that door opens. We're going to have somebody walk up to us at some point in time, someone that we've had a conversation with in the past that knows we're a Christian, and they're going to look at us and say, I am broken and I need God. And if we have not been intentionally preparing ourselves for evangelism, we're going to go, let me get Patrick for you. Why don't you talk with him? No. Talk with me. Actively, intentionally, and passionately. Our actions flow from who we are. What's inside of us is what comes out of us. I know many of you love, and I enjoyed hearing it, the stories about Monroe in his last days, when he would have dreams and see things that weren't there. What was he doing? He was setting up Bible studies. He was talking with people about God, because that was what was inside of him. We're passionate about what we care about. So if we care about the Brewers, if we care about the Bucks, if we care about the Packers, if we care about the Admirals, if we're a big Badgers fan, we're excited because yesterday was a pretty good day. But those are the things that are going to come out of us. And that's good. I've already said that's a conversation starter. But once that conversation is started, then our passion should show. Peter encouraged churches that were experiencing persecution, and we like to fashion that in the States we're starting to feel some pushback, we're starting to feel some persecution here, and maybe we are. But the first thing that Peter does is remind them of their identity. This is 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How can you not be passionate about that? How can you not want to share that with somebody else? You remember that 55% of monthly churchgoers that said it had been 6 months and they probably hadn't shared the gospel? 56% in that same study, 56% of people that considered themselves regular churchgoers still prayed weekly for opportunities to share. But they hadn't acted on it. There's no passion there. What happens when there's no passion? We're not talking Penn, who says, hey, I'm an atheist. He's cold already. He could get hot, but he's already cold. Lukewarm. Ask the church in Laodicea about lukewarm. I'm going to vomit you out. I wish that you were cold or hot, but you are lukewarm. Why would God say, I wish you were cold. I wish you were like Penn. Or I wish you were hot. I wish you were on fire for me. Because if we're lukewarm, if we're like that church in Laodicea, we're comfy. I'm doing good. I'm coming. I'm here today. And, I'm singing the songs. Talk with some people before I leave. Then I'm going to walk out, get in my vehicle, drive home, and turn south side off. I'm going to close that box. There goes God. I'm all done. Maybe I'll come in Wednesday. Maybe I'll get online and do Zoom for Bible class. Maybe come in Thursday morning for the ladies' class, if you can go to a ladies' class. But, you know, I'm really not going to think about it that much until next Sunday. Because, you know, I'm pretty well provided for. I'm lukewarm some weeks. But that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to be intentional about how we are sharing the gospel with people. Are you doing that? Are you intentionally preparing yourself for those opportunities? Are you actively working through those conversations? Are you looking for people in your life that you can include in your prayers? Are you passionate about God? Are you passionate about your salvation? It's okay to say no. You need to reflect. We all need to reflect. Because evangelism and discipleship, hand in hand, are what is going to fill the empty seats around you. We can do everything for ourselves and encourage ourselves, our membership, and build ourselves up. And we need to do that. Patrick and I have talked about that and about ways that we can do it. But without evangelism and sharing what we have, we're not going to bring in new people. And we can't populate God's kingdom by ourselves. We need others to go with us, whether they're here or somewhere else. And so Jeff talked about discipleship and talked about faraway cities. Well, think about faraway cities like Wauwatosa and West Allis and South Milwaukee, Oconomowoc. Be passionate about it. In Colossians, and Allison brought this to me moments before I stood up, said, this is go really well with your lesson. And as Patrick and I have talked about, the end of a sermon is often the part that gets the least attention from the minister as he's preparing to give it. Jeff's nodding in agreement. And that's, Allison learned that with me early on. I'd give her an outline of what I was going to say and get finished, and she'd look at me and go, that wasn't the lesson that you just gave. So when she gave this to me, I looked at it and I went, oh yeah, it does. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, if you're new to Southside, and you're looking around going, there's some empty seats in here. If you have been at Southside for many years, and you're looking around going, there's some empty seats in here. We used to do two services on Sunday morning. Start doing that. Start being more intentional in your evangelism. Start being more active in your evangelism. And start being more passionate about your God. If we do that, he will bless us. How much do you love him? How much do you care about that salvation that you've been given? I pray that it is enough to motivate you, to cause you to share. If you don't know about that salvation fully yet, come find me, come find Patrick, come find Jeff Valadine, find somebody in this congregation, and they will either be able to help you understand that gospel better, or they will be able to point you to someone who will. And I'll tell you right now, many of us are already praying for that. So we're going to stand up and sing another song, and I think if you listen to the songs that we've sung so far today and the two more that we're going to sing, these are all songs that have been dear to me for a long time because they call us to be evangelistic. Christ calls us to be evangelistic. So lend your voice to this. Not just your voice, though. Give your heart over. Give all of you over to singing this next song. If there's a need that you have, if you want to know how to evangelize better, if you need prayers to help you talk to somebody, if you need somebody to go with you, come and find me. Talk with me. Let me know. I would love to help you learn how to do that better. I would love to disciple you in your evangelism. So, that's our charge. That's our challenge. Be intentional, be active, be passionate. Are you willing to pick it up? It's kind of heavy. Not nearly as heavy as that cross. Not nearly as heavy as my sin. Let's stand together and sing.